create. It's a long game, but I won't lose my way. Today's a good day for miracles to come my way. Woo! Come on! Hey, hey! This is my affirmation song. Come on, feel the good vibration as your bells are singing.
What's shaking, my friends? Welcome to the Trembling EMT podcast. I am your host, the Trembling EMT, and this is my Parkinson's journey. I am beyond excited. I am actually shaking in my seat, and it's not because of the Parkinson's. I have my sidekick and always trusty partner, Mr. Chris Suffin, hanging out with me today. And we're gonna be interviewing Wayne Markman, the CEO of Symbix Biome, a new medical company that has been co-founded in 2019 to develop medical laser therapies. Focus on activating cellular activities, stimulating gut microbiome, and leveraging the gut-brain connection. As we all know, Parkinson's, the new studies and research that are out there for Parkinson's have found the connection between the gut and the brain, and focus on the Parkinson's originating in the gut. So they've through the brain and gut connection and the photobiomodulation, say that three times fast, and low level laser therapy, Symbix laser devices are CEARGT listed and targeted chronic pain and chronic condition symptoms, including Parkinson's, fibromyalgia, and arthritis. Wayne Marksman is the CEO of the Sydney-based healthcare company, Symbix Bionics. As a board-registered, qualified doctor of chiropractic, Wayne has worked for over 15 years as an investment banker in North Korea, North and South America. I don't know where I get Korea from. UK, Europe, Asia Pacific.
That's brilliant.
Leading large client teams in complex cross-board M&A transactions in the consumer healthcare industries. With an MBA from Harvard Business School and a degree in economics at McMaster College, Wayne's passion to make positive differences in non-pharmaceutical healthcare propelled him to take further studies through chiropractic. He graduated from McGuire University
Macquarie University.
My apologies.
Yep, that's okay.
And practiced for several years before founding Symbix. Wayne, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us today and chit chat. I'm looking forward to this.
It's a great pleasure. So just to clarify, I didn't work in North Korea, but in North and South America. And if it's okay, Eric, I want to restate my background because you've been too kind, but I want people to know that I had three close family members die with Parkinson's. And I always wanted to do something worthwhile in my career. I had a 20-year business background, and I thought if I could bring my business background to healthcare to help people with Parkinson's, then we could actually affect positive change. And so we're doing something no one else is doing. We've raised a lot of money to develop these cool medical devices. We'll talk about them. Now, yeah, don't say photobiomodulation three times because I promise you won't get it right. What I want people to really take away is that it's laser light therapy to significantly reduce the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. And that's all it is. It's the combination of physics, which is inside the laser, biochemistry, which are the chemical and biological processes in your gut, and then neurology, how they travel to the brain, those signals, and how it stimulates the production of dopamine both in the peripheral nervous system and the central nervous system. And the central nervous system is critical because that's the brain and spinal cord. So we're able to stimulate more dopamine by shining an infrared cold. That's what you meant by low level. It's a cold laser. It's not the laser that cuts. That's a chemical laser, and that's a very high-powered laser. This is a low-powered, safe to use at home, class one. I should say class one, not class one. I'm talking to Americans. Class one laser, which is approved and safe for home use. Okay, you cannot blind yourself. You cannot burn yourself. You cannot cut yourself. You're allowed to use it at home. It's approved all over the world, except we are now in the discussion with the FDA to get this approved in the United States. But I will explain how your listeners can contact us, and we'll point them in the right direction as well. So there are many devices that are approved in the US of similar characteristics, and we can talk about that later. But so it's simple. It's actually not complicated. But and I'll shut up in a minute and let you ask your questions.
No,
But
you're doing good.
it's, in my view, one of the three most incredible discoveries in medicine the century. And the century, I'm caveating it, it's only 21, 22 years old, right? So we're the 2000s. I'm not talking about the
Right.
1900s, because the invention of penicillin to kill bacteria, antibiotics, was huge. But we're now finding that kids who have been on antibiotics for many years are susceptible to gut dysbiosis, which is gut disturbances ultimately leading. I don't want to scare anyone, but there's a link between the gut and the brain and brain health. So
Yes.
if you've been a frequent serial abuser of antibiotics, you have a higher prevalence of Parkinson's in that group. You have a higher prevalence of Parkinson's if you live in a wine-growing region in France because of the paraquat they use, which is an insecticide. They use it in spraying the crops. And some of the leading neurologists in the world have just published papers on the on this incidence in a leading neurological journal of the high level of incidence. So Parkinson's is probably the, well, it's not probably, it is the fastest growing neurological condition. It is the second largest, most prevalent neurological condition in the world behind Alzheimer's. It is not an old person's disease. It is actually the biggest man-made disease, or I don't know what the right gender description. It's the biggest person-made disease in the world today. It is an epidemic in China and India. The official World Health Organization numbers do not include China and India because we cannot get reliable stats. But in any industrializing country, you are going to have a pandemic of Parkinson's. And we know that 10 to 15 million estimate of Parkinson's people around the world is nonsense because that's just diagnosed. Three to four times as many are undiagnosed. And then you've got probably 7 to 10 times as many in those two most populous countries in the world. So it's awesome to be invited to talk to you guys, to talk to your listeners, your subscribers, and let's debunk some of the myths that are out there about Parkinson's. And the first one is it's not an old person's disease. That's absolute nonsense. The second one I hope you ask me about, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint, is the standard care level, the quality of standard care around the world is unacceptably poor for a Parkinson's person. And I saw this with my father-in-law, who I was very close to. We spent the last year, 2 years of his life continuously with him, helping nurse him. I didn't know much about the gut-brain axis. We didn't have light therapy in those days. He was on a cocktail of levodopa and carbolevodopa to take away the symptoms that the levodopa caused. So we're taking medication to counteract the effects of the medication. And the medication has a finite window, very toxic. It hasn't evolved in 65 years. It was a wonderful invention 65 years ago. It helped people. It did reduce tremor. It did reduce the on-off periods, but it hasn't evolved. And as the only therapy, pharmaceutical therapy, and then you have deep brain stimulation on the other end, and that's deeply invasive brain surgery, right? So the options are crap. I'm sorry if that's not appropriate for on-air
No,
viewing. That the
that's
options are
perfect.
shitty. And I want to talk about the poor level of care that people with Parkinson's suffer from. And you know, there are studies that talk about levels of depression and anxiety amongst Parkinson's people. I guess we understand why now, because the level of care is so poor, and because there's no good news. And why is there no good news? I want you to ask me also about the drug development process and how long it takes to get drugs onto the market, and the political lobby that is preventing decent therapies that help people also from getting onto the market. So, A, I think it's an incredible invention like therapy for Parkinson's. The other one would be a vaccination for a pandemic. And it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. To get a vaccination to the world's population in 1 year is monumental, because the development time frame is 10 to 15 years for a drug. But if you have world cooperation, you can do it. So if there was world cooperation, we could solve Parkinson's. But there isn't world cooperation, because it's viewed as an old person disease. So we want to get pain relief, symptomatic reduction through light therapy into the hands of everyone with Parkinson's disease. And there's been a little bit of pushback on something I said and is on our Symbix website. I want to clarify that, because people are not looking for a cure, they're looking for some relief. Yes, of course, we want a cure, absolutely, but we want to be realistic about what we can do right now. Okay, right now, today, next week, next month, because that time frame to develop a drug is very elongated. And I think the other incredible invention of the century is gene editing, the ability that scientists have now to cut, splice, slice DNA, take out defective parts of the DNA, and put corrected parts back in to solve chronic issues. And I think that's where the cure for Parkinson's is going to come. So I think light therapy, global vaccination, and gene editing are the three most exciting developments in medicine in the century. Now I'm going to be quiet and let you ask me some questions.
Well, I want to. You mentioned something when you talk about the antiquated treatment of Parkinson's and it being sold. But one thing that they don't talk about is the Parkinson's is also a multi. I and this is my belief that Parkinson's it takes a multidisciplinary discipline, multidisciplinary management of it. Because doctors use the word treatment to tr when they talk about Parkinson's, and you don't treat Parkinson's, you manage it. And they just look at one thing, which is drugs and drugs. They barely touch on diet. They prescribe exercise, but don't give it the emphasis that it needs. And they don't talk about support groups. It's something that now with your treatment, there's more things to do than just medication. And doctors, all they do is just talk about the medication and that's it.
Yeah. Can I respond to that?
Yes, please.
All right. So this is not a bagging session on doctors, okay? And I don't want to give
No.
the impression that there isn't a role for medication, and there isn't a role for the neurologist in a person with Parkinson's care team. But allopathic medicine, or traditional medicine, is a rigorous 6 to 8 year process, right, of learning. You learn an awful lot of information. And that information does not evolve as quickly as what people are practicing. You know, there are some incredible technologies being trialed by the bodybuilding community. Now, let's put aside steroid, anabolic steroid abuse, because there's always an element of every group that goes too far and does things that, you know, are not particularly safe or appropriate for the general public. But a lot of the experimentation with supplements, protein powders, things you can do, timing of when you eat, both for muscle mass gain, for weight loss, for optimal health, for mental acuity actually originate in the bodybuilding community because they're trialing things that are not approved by traditional medicine. And then what happens then is that gets adopted by high performance athletes next. And then after the high performance athletes adopt this, then wealthy people who can afford these therapies adopt it. And after wealthy people, there's a 10 to 15 year gap before the rest of the population adopts the innovation. So that's how long it takes for us to adopt these incredibly innovative approaches to exercise, health, diet, mental health, etc., that have been practiced by the bodybuilding community 20 years ago. So that's just the process of how we adopt technology. So modern medicine is slow and they're conservative. But they have to be because, you know, you can't be prescribing steroid use and abuse to patients. But that's how we adopt technology. So what you're being prescribed as a Parkinson's person is about 20 years outdated. Okay. Second thing, traditional medicine treats problems. They don't treat people. Right. So they treat your pain. They treat your tremor. They're not treating the whole person. We know now that the person has a person with Parkinson's. It's not just a movement disorder. That's nonsense. We've evolved. We know it's movement. There are movement challenges. We know that there are cognitive challenges. It's affecting dopamine and serotonin. And these are not just drugs or neurotransmitters that affect movement. Dopamine is essential in healthy cognitive function, executive thinking, analytics, performing at your peak performance. There's one, you know, you are, I hate to tell you this, Eric, but you're a series of electrical impulses in your brain. That's all you are. Okay. Yes. It doesn't matter what you believe in or where you come from. You are an electric circuit controlled by a brain. You're a computer and it puts out five frequencies. Okay. There's alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and theta. That's all you are. And the gamma wave is the fastest wavelength of electricity in your brain. So alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and theta. Gamma is the fastest. Gamma is what you need to fire when you're doing this interview with me and, you know, I'm talking nonsense and you have to pull me back and put me back on track and keep the conversation appropriate. You're thinking, you're analyzing, you are performing at your peak. With Parkinson's, your gamma waves are compromised. They're not firing optimally. So you're slightly slower to pick up, on average, on the issues that you need to be on top of to make this an effective, positive experience for your viewers. Light therapy strengthens. We have a helmet that we're going to produce next year. That helmet there, it costs $1,000. You put it on your head and it fires gamma waves of red and infrared light. It reinforces your gamma waves in your brain. So it is a pacemaker for your brain. So if you did an MRI of your brain waves using this, and after that, the gamma is reinforced and stronger. So you actually function at a better rate than you did before you put that helmet on, cognitively, mentally. So modern medicine doesn't treat the whole person. We know that there's more to a Parkinson's person than just a tremor. So the levodopa, the drug, treats tremor. It's very effective at reducing or minimizing tremor. It's not useful for the non-motor deficit or deficits that a Parkinson's person has. So Symbix is different. I said before, I have a business background and a healthcare background. So I've come at this, and we come at this from a different perspective. We treat customers like kings and queens. The customer is the CEO of their care team. And this is a concept that is going to catch on because if it's the last thing I do, we're going to give people the confidence and the courage to take responsibility for their care and to act like they're the CEO of their care team.
I'm going to start because using that.
Please go ahead.
No, I said I'm going to start using that phrase, the CEO of your healthcare team.
If you don't, you're going to get substandard, crappy care. If you don't say, hey, I expect an hour appointment or a 30-minute appointment, I expect information on exercise, counseling, diet, medication, light therapy, you're not doing a good enough job. All you're doing is saying, take another half a tablet. And that's not good enough. And the best research out there, it's already published. If you look at the Netherlands, there is a professor there, professor of neurology called Dr. Bas Blom. He's one of the leading neurologists, thinkers, academics, and activists in the Parkinson's community globally. He's very well regarded. I follow him on Twitter, etc. He is progressive. He's open-minded. He just continuously points to the research showing that an integrative approach works. It's not a medical approach. It's not just exercise. It is a combination of managing all these areas of your life. So it's diet, exercise, counseling, light therapy. It's changing. The World Parkinson Congress coming up in Barcelona 2023, Symbix will be there. The researchers using our devices, there's a team in Canada, there's a team in Adelaide, randomized double-blinded placebo trials. We're going to show beyond any reasonable doubt that these devices increase performance, increase cognition, decrease motor deficit, and should be part of standard care. So it is changing. My heart bleeds for people I speak to. I speak to hundreds of people with Parkinson's every day, and the level of care they get is angers me. I mean, I'm beyond frustrated, and I don't have Parkinson's. You guys must be livid at the end of your tether because it is so poor and it's so obviously poor. So you, if, this is a message of empowerment for your listeners. Demand, start educating yourselves and start demanding more. And when I say educate yourselves, we're still, because it's an old person disease, quote unquote. And look, the majority of people with Parkinson's still are 65 plus. This is a generation that do not question authority. They do not question doctors. Doctors are at the top of the pyramid. And I don't know when that happened. I honestly don't know. But the doctor is no more important in my life than the mechanic is when I have my car breaks down. I'm the customer. They're the service provider. I pay for the service, and if it's not top quality, I change my provider. And I don't know why, where along the line we didn't get that message with respect to our doctors.
And then another problem that, well, let's before I forget, let's talk about the research for the light therapy, because I
Sure.
know where did what's the reason what is what's the research that is based on?
Great, great. Okay, now your listeners are going to really hate me because if there are any animal activists out there, I do apologize. I get a lot of criticism and I'm used to it. So, bring it on. I'm sorry. We did it on mice. Now, I'm going to throw my research scientific colleagues under the bus here. It's an expression we have in Australia. You throw somebody else under the bus, you don't take
Yes.
responsibility. I wasn't involved, okay? I am innocent. About 10 years ago at the University of Sydney, a group of really bright Australian scientists had a great idea, and that is, let's give some mice Parkinson's disease. Okay? Now, how do you give mice Parkinson's disease? You inject them with drugs, crystal meth, ice, crack cocaine, really bad stuff, okay? And it's no surprise that some of those organic compounds, the poisons, the toxins that are in those chemicals are the same toxins that are in insecticides and industrial solvents and the poisons that we know are causing Parkinson's, starting in the gut, ingesting fumes. Whether it goes through the nose or the mouth doesn't matter. It's going into the gut. It ends up in the gut. And they gave the mice Parkinson's disease, and the mice developed tremors, gait, walking disturbances, balance problems, freezing, poor decision making. The mice started to not feed when there was food. And we know that dopamine doesn't only affect voluntary motor skills, it affects motivation. So without
Yes.
dopamine, you lose motivation. I mean, Chris is putting up his hand. This is common when you talk to people all over the world with Parkinson's. So without dopamine, the mice didn't want to feed themselves. And mice eat all the time. That's what they're here for. They look scavenged for food. Anyway, then these bright Australian scientists, go Aussie. These bright Australian scientists, we love you Americans too, but the Aussies invented this. These bright Australian these bright Australian scientists then took infrared light in a laser. It didn't look as fancy as the Simbix laser, and I'll tell you about this. That's the Simbix laser. All it does is it emits at a very specific technical parameter the right intensity, the right wavelength for the right amount of time, and that's the key. Anyway, they played around and they experimented with infrared laser because we know that light changes cells. Light can change cell activity and cell performance because we're all warm-blooded plants at the end of the day. Sunlight has an effect on green vegetation. It absorbs the light, it makes chlorophyll. It releases oxygen, it consumes carbon dioxide. That's the sort of respiration cycle
Cool.
of a plant. Humans are the same, but we don't produce chlorophyll and turn green. What we do is we produce more energy in the mitochondria of the cell. So put infrared light on the cell produces ATP, adenosine triphosphate. I won't ask you at the end of the discussion to repeat that, but it makes ATP. It energizes the cell. What it does is, if the cell is not working normally, it repairs the cell. So it's providing energy for the cell, and the sick cells repair themselves. The ones that can't kill themselves. So you have normalized cell function. And that starts a whole process that ends up in dopamine signaling in the brain. More energy levels. So the mice improved. Then they stopped the treatment. The mice returned to the Parkinsonian state. They repeated the therapy. The mice improved. Then they cut the vagus nerve of the mice. We got really cruel. The vagus nerve is the nerve that travels from the brain stem all the way down to every organ in the body. It's called the wandering nerve. So vagus is, I think, Greek or Latin for wandering. The mice didn't improve because they cut the connection between the gut and the brain. They put the laser light on the tummy of the mice. They didn't get better. The symptoms didn't reduce. The symptoms didn't disappear. They reduced. Okay? That's important. This is not a cure for Parkinson's. This is to reduce symptomatology. And that gets back to the statement I made about people are looking for some symptom relief. Anyway, that's the original study. Then they did a few more years of the study, and they proved beyond doubt that there was a connection between the gut and the brain, and you could give a mouse Parkinson's and you could reduce their symptoms with the infrared laser. They found the wavelength, they found the intensity, and they find the exposure, which is the dosage. How many joules of energy you put on the tummy to get a desired result in the head. They did human experiments after that. Now, we didn't do invasive giving people Parkinson's. We took a group of Parkinson's patients. We didn't cut their vagus nerve. We basically gave them a course of therapy. And they followed these patients for 3 years. And they have just recorded the 3 years of data. In fact, the research paper is now going to be submitted for publication. So it'll be now publicly available a couple of weeks. The people who use the light continued either to improve or stay the same. They didn't go backwards. And Parkinson's is degenerative, which means it doesn't improve. It continues to get worse.
Yes.
But we've shown now for 3 years in human beings that you can actually slow down, if not stop, the progression of Parkinson's. We can't say it stops it because we only have 3 years of data. When we have 30 years of data, we'll be able to make that claim. But it affects people like every other therapy affects them. There's a distribution curve. 10% are super responders. 10% you've seen no improvement, but you don't see regression. And 80% have a combination of different symptomatic changes for the better. And that's where we are now. So we have now listened to all the criticisms from the medical community, and the criticisms come thick and fast. But that's okay. We have thick skin because we have a mission and we're going to keep going no matter what anyone tells us. And now we have three randomized control trials with a placebo arm funded and starting. One starting in Canada. We've already announced it on all our social media. One is starting in Adelaide, Australia next month. And one is almost completed in Sydney. And that's the one that I think will be very, very encouraging in terms of results. And they'll present at the World Parkinson's Congress next year. And we will be able to show without doubt versus a placebo laser, which is, it looks the same as this one. So we have two different types. This one, which is connected to the diodes and actually emits infrared radiation. So you put that on, you can't see it because it's outside of the light spectrum. But if you had an infrared camera, you could see these two beams coming out. This green light just tells you what's on. It's not infrared laser. But we have one where we haven't connected the diodes. And if you use that on one group and you use the live one on another group and you measure the differences, that's what the doctors want.
Yeah,
we understand. We will give them what they want and show that the live group performed better than the placebo group. So it's now well on the way. We've got a lot of momentum with trials.
And now a quick word from our sponsor. JustQ Solution knows that small business contribute to local economies by bringing growth and innovation to the community. Not only that, but growing your business in this ever-changing digital marketing world can be hard, time-consuming, and confusing. For the past decade, we've all experienced a transition from traditional ways of doing business to a web-centric and data-driven economy. And JustQ Solution is here to help you stand out of the pack with a wide range of digital marketing solutions, including website design and development, CEO, SME, social media advertising, content marketing, chatbot, and everything in between. JustQ Solution is your one-stop shop for everything digital. Ready to grow your business? Give them a call, 570-620-6350, to schedule a free consultation. And if you mention the Great Strong Foundation, they'll give you 10% off your website or marketing plan. Now, are there any side effects? Because everything...
No. So let's break side effects down into material versus transient. And then let's also break it down into if you have commenced medication versus if you refuse to take medication, how it affects people. Okay. So in terms of side effects, 1% of everyone who uses the device, so 1 out of 100, develops dysautonomia, which is temporary. It basically means you might have an increase in your symptoms temporarily because you've used too much too quickly and the normal dosage is not appropriate for you. So you might find your tremor worsened for the first week, increased. And you call up Symbix and you say, man, I just paid a lot of money for this. You guys are, you know, con people. And we'll say, no, Eric, please. We actually have a success rate of 90% of all people who had an issue. So of the 1%, 90% of the 1%, 0.9 out of one person, when you take them off this for a week, you reintroduce it slowly, they respond really nicely, and then they get the improvements. So 1.1 out of 100 people, they're too sensitive to light therapy. No matter what we do, their tremor gets worse. They feel a little bit, they have vertigo, dizziness. They might feel a little nauseous. That's the side effect. So when I say no side effects, I mean no dangerous side effects that last, and it's so rare. It is rare. If you have epilepsy, you cannot use it, unfortunately, because, you know, this is a light therapy. If you have deep brain stimulation, you can certainly use it. It's perfectly safe. Just don't put it on your head. And there's our protocol is not on the head. It's on the back of the neck, perfectly safe, and on the abdomen.
That was my question, because I've seen in the, in the advertisement, back of the neck, the forearm and the... And the
So there's no forearm. What you saw was another Symbix laser for reduction in pain and inflammation. That's a physio care laser. That's a separate beast. And you've probably pointed out a weakness in our advertising, and I'll have a look at that. You shouldn't be confused by that. I apologize.
That's
So the
okay.
pedicure is for Parkinson's. What it is 3 days a week with a day in between. You have a day rest in between. So you do it a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for example. And it's 18 minutes on the gut because you need to deliver 65 joules of energy. And that's how long it takes this laser to deliver that 65 joules of energy in the therapy. You do 9 points in the gut, and then you do 2 minutes on the neck. Why the neck? Because your brainstem is right at that point that you put the laser on. And that's the most neuron-rich point that we can access outside of the brain because you've got a skull there, right? So we go right onto the back of the neck. It's basically stimulating your nervous system and it's reinforcing the connection between the brain and the gut because we know the brain and the gut link is
Yeah,
there.
that's
80% of the communication is from the gut to the brain. 20% of the communication is from the brain to the gut. So whoever told you there's no gut-brain axis didn't learn their neurology. 80% of the communication, one more time, is from the gut to the brain. So of the electrical signals, 8 out of 10 signals come from the brain, the gut to the brain, not the brain to the gut. So we put it on the gut, and what we do is infrared laser ferments the fiber in your colon, and that makes these short-chain fatty acids that people talk about omega-3 short-chain fatty acids. You've got to take supplements. This is a natural way to do that. And what it does is it reduces inflammation. And inflammation or leaky gut is the genesis or the beginning, the origin of dopamine cell death in the brain and ultimately dementia. If you can stop that gut bacteria from leaking out of the gut into the blood system, into the body, the lymphatic system, you stop it from folding, misfolding those proteins, alpha-synuclein proteins that cause dementia and kill dopamine centers in the brain. So if you're caring for your gut, healthy diet, which is comes back to your point, healthy diet, but some of us don't have a healthy diet.
No.
Exercise, it's anti-inflammatory. And so is infrared laser. Very effective because you're going right to the gut. You're circumventing the stomach, which is a hydrochloric acid bath. So a lot of that hydrochloric acid kills the food, kills the nutrition. But this goes, if we miss the tummy, we go right to the gut, the colon. And that is stimulating the production of dopamine in the brain. And I can spend an hour talking about how that works, but I'll lose everyone on the call and it'll kind of be boring. So I'll spare
Well,
you. But that's why the gut and the brain.
you mentioned about in our previous call there, and there's been studies to show, and Chris will attest to this, depending how you when you eat proteins, the there's studies that have shown that your gut won't digest the medication.
Patients, I have. That's one of my main issues, like my med timings. I have to watch when I eat so close, just because of, and if it's protein heavy or if it's like a big meal, it's a crapshoot as to whether or not that next dose is even going to work. So.
Chris, thank you so much for saying that, because that is an awesome reminder to me to tell you guys a couple of facts. So Harvard University, we talked about this, but I'll say the thing again. Have you heard of Harvard University?
Yes.
Okay, a rhetorical question. They're pretty good, right? I went there. I know they're a decent university. So they did a study in 2019, and the result of the study was that they proved that only 1 to 5% of your medication survives intact through the stomach, crosses the blood-brain barrier, and becomes active dopamine in your head, in your
Wow.
brain, right? So you're
Significant.
getting 5% on a good day of the benefit. The reason why it makes people sick is because when it becomes
It's just so
active in the
much.
tummy, sorry,
I was going to say it's such a shock to the system then, if
it's a
that's
shock.
being, if that's the,
But
such a low percentage is
such
actually
a low
needed.
percentage. So the toxicity of what you're ingesting for the benefit is so low. So one of the One of the theories, if you will, about why our laser is so effective is that it reduces inflammation and the very bacteria that eats the levodopa in your gut and turns it into dopamine. So levodopa is a dopamine compound that is small enough to cross the blood-brain barrier. It's the right size, okay, and the right shape. If it becomes dopamine, if levodopa turns into dopamine in the gut, it cannot cross the blood-brain barrier, and it just makes you feel sick, which is why people need carbo-levodopa, okay? So it doesn't help you because it won't go to your brain. So this laser reduces the bacteria that eats or metabolizes the levodopa into dopamine in your gut. So that's shocking, right? Shocking news to find out that Harvard University proved that only up to 5% becomes active and in the brain instead of the gut. Now you're all you're doing is creating the environment where all those bacteria and fungi and archaea, all these little microbes in your tummy, are in the right balance so that you don't have inflammation. Inflammation means those tight cell junctions lining your gut are not compromised and inflamed, leaking content out. You don't want that bad stuff coming out of the gut. You want to keep it in the gut. If you think about it, the gut is on the outside of your body, right? From your mouth to your anus, it's protected from the rest of your body. It's a pipe, and everything bad is inside that pipe. The bad needs to be there because the bad bacteria and the good bacteria need to be in symbiosis, the right balance of the two. There are numerous studies. I didn't make this stuff up. But when you have a disproportionate amount of one versus the other, that's when you start to have trouble. And, you know, 10 years before a Parkinson's diagnosis, more than half of people who have been diagnosed have had gut issues. So we know that a large percentage, now I've seen estimates from 50% all the way to 75%. I don't know which one is correct, but at least half, 50% at least, of people who have Parkinson's have had a history of gut issues. One of the first things the laser is now showing to work on is reducing the gut inflammation and normalizing a person's digestion. And if you normalize digestion, which means you have the right balance of the different good and bad bacteria, there's Bacteroidetes and Firmicutes. Those are the two classes. We'll get into phylum and microbiology, and that's kind of interesting to a scientist, but not to the average person. Then you start to have the production of the right short-chain fatty acids and normal production of dopamine and serotonin and normal signaling to the brain up the vagus nerve and normal cognition and motor function, or more normal, because unfortunately, we haven't figured out yet how to repair the death of those dopamine centers in the brain. But we can add more grease to make the engine work, and that grease is dopamine. That's the neurotransmitter that makes the brain work more normally. If you don't have medication and you haven't been on medication, look, I'm not saying stop medication. In fact, we make a point of saying in our literature, do not change anything until you speak to your prescribing physician or neurologist. You can use light therapy in conjunction with medication. It doesn't make the medication less effective. It makes the medication more effective. And you never change two variables when you start a new therapy. You don't say to the person, right, I want you to now exercise and take a diet supplement, because you don't know what's effective and what's counteracting the other. So if you are on medication, we have thousands of patients on medication. The majority of our patients are on medication. They take this. They use the light therapy. And then because we are now 2 years into the business, they're starting to reduce their medication. But that's a conversation they have with their doctor, not with us. We don't get involved in their relationship with their doctor. If you're not on medication, we have wonderful results as well. Patients who don't want to start and are doing really nicely on the light therapy and are happy. I mean, they're delighted because they don't have to start medication. Anyway, I hope that answered your question, Eric.
No, that did. Now, one question then. What's your biggest challenge with PD care and getting?
Two things. One is to actually manufacture enough of these, because COVID has been a massive shock for manufacturing of silicon chips, circuit boards, diodes globally, and it's really hard to get components. So, we struggled with that, and we're working on that. But more relevant to your listeners, it's actually getting the word out there, which is why I'm so grateful to be invited onto your podcast, because there's no love from the medical community. Why? Because we're challenging what they are doing. We're challenging the level of care that they've provided, and they don't like it, right? No one in the medical community likes being challenged because they're not used to it. They're used to being the authority in the room. And all of a sudden, we're saying, oh, no, the patient's the authority because the patient has Google. And you know what? You can learn a lot from Google, right? The people who criticize Google, I think we're living in the most incredible time in history where you have access to communities. You can meet people like I've met you, Chris, and you, Eric. I would never have had this opportunity before,
That's
social
true.
media. Never. It's wonderful. It's damaging if used, abused, but it's wonderful for connecting and creating momentum. And we need support. We have friends at Parkinson's UK who are going to now start advertising that an integrative approach actually is research based. It's not just, someone said, hey, you need more than just medication. It's research based and it's best practice. Putting the patient at the center of that team is best practice. All healthcare should be patient centric. It's currently not. But you won't get love by many Parkinson's organizations. You won't get any love from the Michael J. Fox Foundation. I love what they do and I love their ethos. But when you spend 30 years investing in drugs, you're wedded to drugs. And they're not going to change course easily or say, hey, potentially, maybe there's something else that we should add to the focus and investment in drug therapies. So we get no love there. We don't get love from many places. And I'm used to living without much love, but we're human. We need support. We need people like yourselves to get the message out that there are alternatives that work. And people need to take responsibility. People need to take action. Now, we talked about, sorry, I have to go back to this. I said people are not looking for a cure, now, in 10 years' time, they're looking for relief. Well, not true. Okay. And I apologize if I offended anyone out there. Of course, we want a cure, right? But the reality is, if there was some good news that you read about or heard about or listened to on, PBS one night in the US, miracle drug shows promise in clinical trial, you are 10 years at a minimum, 15 years on average, and 20 years most likely to buy that drug on the market because of the FDA process. For drug approvals, phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four clinical trials, they cost tens of millions of dollars. Now, this is not a negative message. This is a realistic message because we're being genuinely open and realistic, right? And I've told you, we don't cure Parkinson's. We have a very good product for symptomatic relief. And we're not going to pretend we cure Parkinson's. We don't. There is no cure right now. Why? Because A, it's viewed as an old person disease. So the political will to put a lot of money behind it is limited because old people are viewed, and we love our patients, old or young. And I don't mean to offend any of your aged patients out there, but as a political group, they are not the most important to a politician, right? And they're not earning. At this point in their lives, on average, they're not important. So there's limited political will. There is a drug development process that is 10 to 20 years long. This is not a vaccine for the pandemic because people were dying from it, not with it. And that's a difference here. There are no young people dying from Parkinson's en masse. So it's viewed still as an old person condition. So we believe that there should be political will and support to make patients aware of complementary, not alternative therapies. These are not alternative, these are complementary therapies that help improve their quality of life. And that's what I meant by saying people need symptomatic relief now. And I don't know the people you speak to, you guys, but when we talk to people, tremor is not the top three or four issues that bother people.
No.
It's not. It's sleeping. It's clarity of thought, feeling yourself, feeling normal. It is this dark cloud. It is bathroom issues. These are the things that affect quality of life every day, and these are the things that light therapy address. Medication doesn't address it. So we want people to have courage, have to stand up and to start opening their minds and thinking and supporting complementary therapies because they work.
And I don't just add to the, I don't think people understand what the importance of symptomatic relief, because 9 times out of 10, like you said, like my problem is like I can go with the tremors. I can function with the tremors. I can't function when I can't think straight. I can't, yeah. I can't be functional when I can't, when I've been sitting down and all of a sudden I have to go to the bathroom because my bladder's too slow to respond to tell me that my bladder's full. Like those are important things that the non-motor symptoms that don't get enough attention that are crippling to some people.
Yes. Yeah. You know, the trial that I mentioned in Adelaide, Australia, it's been funded by Parkinson's South Australia. There's an incredible executive there called Olivia Nassaris, and she runs Parkinson's South Australia as part of a group of charities. They are amazing. The most progressive Parkinson's organization in the world, in my experience so far. They're funding a trial using both the helmet device and the Symbix handheld laser, and we're measuring only non-motor symptoms.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got to be brave to do that because, you know, what if the scientists prove that these have no effect on non-motor symptoms? Symbix is out of business, and we're giving them the devices to use to trial because we're that confident. So we're putting our money where our mouth is. Anyway, shout out to Olivia. They're awesome. We love you guys. There are lots of issues, lots of problems, but I don't want to dwell on the problems. I want to give people a message of hope. And that hope is there are devices out there that can improve the quality of your life. You just have to be bold enough to ask for them, demand them, ask for better care. Use your service providers for what they are, service providers, and you're paying a lot of money to see them. Demand better service. Don't accept a quick, as if it's a waste of their time. They're too important to see you. You know, take a half a tablet and come back and see me in a year's time. That's rubbish.
And I think part of the problem is one that the doctors we analyze our doctors, and I always say, I use the analogy, we treat our mechanics better than we treat our doctors. When our cars, there's something wrong with our car, we'll take it in right away, explain every bump, rattle, and shake, and vibration that there is, take our time explaining that, and expect results. But when it comes to us, we wait till the last possible minute, give the most vaguest description in the most shortest amount of time. And when there's something wrong, we stop going to the doctor and say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But we don't go back and explain, hey, that didn't work. This is what I need.
So you, Eric, you talked briefly about the psychological component and the need for, experienced professional counseling and advice for people with Parkinson's. Let me put that into a medical context for you. Parkinson's is a disruption of the central nervous system because the very chemical that the central nervous system, which is the brain and spinal cord, needs to function normally, optimally, whatever adjective you want to use, is impaired because you're not getting normal function because you don't have the neurotransmitters being produced in the required amounts. And those neurotransmitters are dopamine and serotonin, okay, mostly. Now, what that does is that affects part of the brain that controls homeostasis in the body, which are all the functions that you need to live normally, which include breathing, sleeping, digestion. That's why those things are all impaired. not just motor movement. And that's such an old, archaic, caveman interpretation of Parkinson's. But what it does also is it affects something called the hypothalamus pituitary axis, the HPA axis in the body, which is the mechanism that we are all born with to deal with stress. So people with Parkinson's have a disproportionate stress response, an asymmetrical stress response to a normal trigger, which means, you know, I tell you some bad news, you go into a meltdown because your brain is not able to manage and process that information like it would have pre-Parkinson's. So your adrenaline level shoots up. In response to that, your brain and the pituitary gland makes cortisol to push that adrenaline level down, and you end up in a panic.
Yes.
And combine that, and then that affects every aspect of your Parkinson's, including motor. So that's why Parkinson's people get really stressed really easily, and when they do, everything else is degraded. Everything else is worse. So how many people with Parkinson's have been told that? How many people realize that one of the most important things is to manage your stress? How do you manage stress? Well, everyone's different, but it could be meditation. So why is meditation frowned upon and thought of as quackery by the medical community?
I have no idea.
Why is counseling, why does it come with a stigma? I'm seeing a counselor, I'm seeing a shrink. Why do people look down on that, mental health? You know, we're learning a lot, but boy, we have a lot more to learn. Yeah. So that's what I mean by taking responsibility for your healthcare. You've got to actually look after your mind.
You be the CEO.
You've got to manage your stress response, and you've got to manage your tummy complaints. You've got to manage your diet, which will help. Exercise, it's not just exercise. It's not about running, sprinting. It's about doing motor movements that keep that link, that chain, that synapse alive. So things that you do every day. So there's a big difference between Parkinson's appropriate exercise and just exercise, which is good for cardiovascular health. That's fine. You need cardiovascular health, but you need specific exercises. Yes. And there are organizations around the world that offer this. They're the, you know, PD Avengers, PD Warriors, Boxing for Parkinson's. You know, you need to find the one that works for you, but it's deliberate exercise. It's not just listen to music and tire myself out.
No.
You need to keep that circuit alive or make new ones. Otherwise, you lose it. Use it or lose it. And so it's deliberate exercise. But how many doctors tell you that?
None. For me being in physical therapy and seeing a counselor was because I educated myself and knew that I needed it, because none of my doctors mentioned it.
Mm.
And we have to work.
Go ahead.
And I've had people that have come to me before they've gotten diagnosed or after getting diagnosed. And I've sent them and I said, hey, have you started therapy? Have you done this? And they're like, why didn't the doctor tell me that? And I'm like, I don't know.
Get a better doctor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, we need to learn to work with them, because they are an integral part of a person with Parkinson's journey. But we need to know how to manage them. And you can't manage someone unless you have some experience and knowledge. Right. And the knowledge is available. The knowledge is out there. That's what we're here for. Your podcast, thank you. I was going to say that. That's why you guys are here.
Yes. So now,
what else can I tell you guys?
If someone's interested in the PD care, how do they obtain it?
I think the process really, and I'll send you links to our website. They should just go onto our website and educate themselves on the device. And we're here if they want to ask questions so that they can learn about what it is, and we can point them in the right direction. Because we're working with the FDA at the moment, so you can't go into a store and buy a PD care in the US. But we're online. Just call us up or email us, and we'll get in touch, and we'll point you in the right direction.
Awesome.
There are devices out there that are available in the US, and you can use them. There's no excuse. You can get started tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Nice, nice.
Yeah, because I assume it's evening, so everything's closed now. It's my morning, guys. Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah,
so you've said a lot and you've been great. So if our listeners took away one thing, if you had to give them one advice, what would that be?
I'm going to give two, okay? Because I never listen. Because if I listened to convention, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I have to have a really strong consistency. So you say go left, I will go right just because you said left. So because you said one, I'm going to do two. One is you're the CEO of your care team, but act like it. Be bold. Be the CEO because no one is going to point you in the right direction. You have no choice. And the quicker you realize it, the quicker you take action, the better off you will be. That's the first bit of advice. The second bit of advice is there are therapies out there that are fantastic. There is good news. All you need to do is research them. Symbix
Research.
Biome is a great start. And I want to thank the guys, Eric and Chris, for being open-minded enough to look and explore and bring these to your attention because these guys are amazing. And I'm so happy to be here and I'm delighted to help them help you guys. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And it's funny because I was in my research, I saw a podcast that described you as authentic CEO. I think they got it wrong. I think you're a grassroots CEO, and I think you're doing great at Symbionics, and you're doing great things, and we're glad to have you.
Thank you. It's a personal journey for us, for me. I started this because it's personal, deeply personal. I saw, close family members suffer, and I don't want anyone else to suffer. We get better healthcare for our pets than we do for people with Parkinson's, and it's unacceptable.
That is definitely unacceptable. Chris, any last words? Any questions?
I'm pretty sure that Wayne covered everything that I had thought of asking. I mean, it's you touch on the idea of it, taking control of our own health care. And I've tell people many times, they're like, you're just diagnosed. What do I need to do when I go to the doctor? And I say, get a notebook, write down any questions you have. I say, do not let that doctor leave the office until you have answers, or at least, a path to an answer. And the stigma of mental health. I mean, for me, that's one of the big things that, we don't, I mean, even amongst us in the PD community, the Parkinson community, do not, we don't, we know there's, non-motor symptoms, but we don't really talk about it because it's kind of, we're standoffish, I guess, from it. So that is those. I am glad that you touched on both of those because that for me is, super important.
The other thing, Chris, I would add on your comment is don't, before you go to the doctor, you should know where the doctor is coming from. And the doctor is coming from a position of prescribing medication, and you should be aware that there is more to treating and improving your quality of life than medication. It's like going to a Porsche dealership and asking for a Tesla. Now they don't offer Teslas. They sell cool Porsches, right? But if you're environmentally conscious, which you should be, I at least I try to be, go to a Tesla dealership if you want an electric car. So you know what they offer. Be realistic about the advice. And it's not the only advice. You should be getting advice from several. Get an opinion, get an additional second, third, fourth opinion from a different specialist, a different professional, dietitians, nutritionists. They've been talking about gut-brain connection and healthy gut is a healthy brain for 50 years. They're smart people,
This is true.
There's good advice out there if you know what to look for. And there is no excuse anymore. We need to know what to look for because it's at our fingertips. It's called Google.
That is true. Hold on
Right.
one
So,
sec.
I thought of one question. So
Sure.
you're talking earlier about, the process as you're using Syndex, it helps re I'm gonna do this from the my IT
Jump
side.
start, jump start the nervous system.
Reconfigure basically your
Reboot it,
biome.
yeah.
Reconfigure your gut biome. What
Yes.
if say someone's taking high dose of probiotics or something?
Sure,
Does
sure.
that because and
Good
part of me, I
question.
think why I thought of that was going back to having too much. You said that some people are too sensitive and the process of that. Have you seen
I
any
mean
change
the
like with that
yeah
happen?
it's a look it's a really good question, because I'm often asked, what's research based, what's best practice, what do we know, how do you know if you're having too much? I guess if you start gambling excessively and skydiving and you were a quite a conservative person, quite a scaredy cat, then that's a
That's a
sign you've probably got
pretty
to
good
rush
sign
it. That's a
indicator,
good, yeah.
right?
No, but it's not funny. All right, let me be serious. There aren't many clinical trials that are rigorous that have established the efficacy of probiotics. So it's still a bit of a, you don't know really what to take and what you're getting there. What we know is that if you put the laser on the tummy, you get an improvement in the symptoms, both motor and non-motor. The actual mechanism of action is very, very complicated. So, we have a good understanding of it, not a great understanding. Now, I can talk about D1 to D5 receptors and proteins that are stimulated and signal to parts of the brain, the striatum. It sounds like Greek mythology, right? But the reality is we don't really know. What we do know, however, what we do know is that fecal transplantation is very effective. So if you take a mouse, a healthy mouse, and you take a mouse with Parkinson's, and you take the poo from the mouse with Parkinson's, and you put it into the colon of the mouse without Parkinson's, the mouse without Parkinson's develops Parkinson's symptoms. Okay, so we know there is a link between the gut, the digestive tract, and the brain, and we know it goes from the gut to the brain. So we know a fecal transplant, but it's expensive. And it's highly invasive and it's not fun. We know that the laser, there's evidence that the laser changes something which increases something. And that something has to be dopamine because it affects all the functions that dopamine controls, right? Probiotics, I have not seen a study. I'm open-minded. If there is one, please send it through. You guys, if you get it, send it through. Where that has been linked to increased dopamine. One of the reasons is I talked about that hydrochloric acid bath in the tummy. So what happens when you swallow the probiotic? Where does it first go? Into the esophagus, down, presumably you don't choke and that doesn't go into the windpipe. It goes into the esophagus. It goes right into the stomach. It sits in a hydrochloric acid bath. We would die in literally a second if we jumped into hydrochloric acid, right? So what does it do to the probiotic? It basically destroys majority of what's in there, right? So it's probably less effective. So I don't think you're going to get an overdose of dopamine by using light therapy and a probiotic. I think you're spending a lot of money on probiotics, and some of the costs of probiotics ongoing. Wow. So great question. All I know is what the evidence says, and the evidence says fecal transplantation really effective, and you can manipulate brain chemistry through the gut. That's unequivocal. Light therapy, you can manipulate brain chemistry unequivocally. Probiotics, I'm not sure. Exercise helps, but not to the same extent that light therapy does.
No.
Light therapy is more effective with exercise and a high fiber Mediterranean diet as well. It's less effective without exercise and a high fiber Mediterranean diet. Because remember, it works on the fiber that your body doesn't absorb. It absorbs everything else. The fiber is what comes out. The fiber is what makes the short chain fatty acids. So I'm giving you my best attempt at answering the question on probiotics, prebiotics, but I think they need to do a little bit more rigorous
Yeah,
research.
No, no.
And if you show me otherwise, send me a study. I will change what I say. I try to keep abreast of all the latest research. I have sympathy for doctors. It's hard to keep abreast of things outside
Everything.
of their scope. It's
Yes.
very hard. But you do find people that do and read widely, and those are the people you need to be listening to.
No, I mean that kind of sums up what I thought, what I was expecting to say, because of how, look, as how I understand how my system works, and that's one of the things, because it affects everyone differently.
Yes, which is
It
also why it's so
right,
hard to treat, because it's one of the
exactly.
most
It's
complicated,
right.
multifactorial conditions.
I mean,
And
Eric
when
and
you
I
add in
have.
the environment, wow, everyone's grown up differently.
We've talked extensively about things that we have tried and things that work for us. And, some do, some don't. It's, but you,
It's a
like you
dance.
said, it is.
Yeah.
You have to be your own advocate, your own best
Yes.
advocate.
But the
And
advice the advice I would give your listeners is that if you combine an integrative approach, combining if you use an follow an integrative approach, combining your levodopa medication, purposeful Parkinson's appropriate exercise, good diet, Mediterranean diet, just Google it, it'll tell you what it is. Lots of olive oils, etc., and fiber, high quality fiber, not white bread, whole grain cereals, and light therapy, I have seen wonderful, wonderful results.
Nice. Once again, thank you for your time.
Yes,
Hold on
thank you,
one
Fred.
second.
You don't have to thank me. I'm thanking you. You guys are.
Once again, I want to give a big thanks to our guest, Dr. Wayne Markman from Symbix Biomedical. Go check them out. All their social media links and stuff are in the podcast description. Big thanks to my co-host, Chris. Brother in arms. As always, let me know what you guys think. Comments, concerns, criticisms, suggestions. Stay blessed. Keep moving forward.